Alrighty, welcome back to another episode of Law Schoolers. In this episode, we're still talking about secure transactions, but we are going to be discussing attaching collateral that is acquired later, or rather after the original security agreement has been signed and the original collateral has been attached. So we're talking about after acquired collateral. That leads us into three different types of collateral that can be acquired later. That's going to be after acquired property. It's going to be proceeds, and then we'll also discuss commingled goods and accessions, or accessions. I'm not exactly sure how that one's pronounced, but attaching collateral that is after acquired property. This is going to be described in Section 9204. Article 9 authorizes the use of actual after acquired property clauses, or AAP clauses. The key to a successful after acquired property clause is the language. The party should say clearly that they are going to be securing future property as collateral. For instance, the description of all of party A's current and after acquired equipment is going to satisfy the description of equipment that is acquired later. There are going to be some items that an after acquired property clause does not cover. These are going to include consumer goods and household items, commercial tort claims are also not covered, except in very, very special circumstances, and that's outlined in 9204B. Sometimes there is a presumption that the collateral includes after-acquired property automatically. This is going to be inventory or accounts. The reason for this is because inventory and accounts is always changing. So it makes sense to include property that is going to be acquired later just because of how variable inventory and accounts are. So that's after acquired property clauses. Let's discuss proceeds. Proceeds are defined in 9102A64. And 9315 discusses the rights of the secured party, which includes the right to obtain proceeds. The idea with proceeds is that the creditor still has an interest in the original collateral, or rather, when the original collateral is no longer available. So, the debtor A sells the property to another individual. Well, then the proceeds are going to be the money that debtor A received for that sale. In other words, that original collateral is no longer available and the creditor still wants an interest in that collateral, but they can't. So now they have an interest in that income that was generated from that sale. So, in other words, even if the collateral is sold or is traded, the creditor can still have an interest in the value of the new collateral, regardless of whether that's cash, accounts, equipment, or any other type of collateral as well. Proceeds from the collateral are automatically going to be assumed as attached. So tracing, how do you trace proceeds then? How do you track where the proceeds are coming from, where the proceeds are going, what they are turning into? Because you can have proceeds upon proceeds. Proceeds can actually get pretty complex because of the proceeds upon proceeds. But there's two main principles. The first principle is that if the proceeds move outside of the scope of Article 9, so you're transferring personal property to real property, proceeds may not trace, so that's one thing. If you are trading a tractor for a home, your collateral may no longer be the home. The second thing that you can't trace is that you can't trace unidentifiable proceeds, which is defined in Section 9315B. Commingled goods are going to be identifiable as long as they are goods as defined in Section 9336. If they are not goods, then the items may not be traced. When we are attempting to trace proceeds, creditors like to use one of two different methods. They like primarily to use the lowest intermediate balance rule. What this rule says is that the identifiable proceeds is the lesser of either, one, the amount of the deposited proceeds, or two, the lowest account balance since the proceeds were deposited. Okay, let's talk about commingled goods and accessions. Accessions is defined in 9.102A1. Accession rules are outlined in 9.335. And then commingled goods rules are outlined in 9.336. Commingled goods are going to be goods that are combined and then are unidentifiable as some product or mass. So for example, flour and sugar no longer are identifiable as flour and sugar once they are used to bake a cake. Or if you take some corn and you add that to a pile of more corn, well then that original corn is no longer identifiable as a single piece of corn, but it is identifiable as a group of corn. There can be no security interest in the original goods after they are commingled, meaning you can't have a security interest in the flour or the sugar once it is now a cake. But you can have a security interest in the resulting product or mass. So those commingled goods combined together to make a cake, you have a security interest in the cake. Accessions are goods that are fixed to another good, and then they are still identifiable as its own independent good. A good example of this is the car engine to a car is attached to the car, but it is still identifiable as an engine. Together, they make up the car, the frame of the car, and the engine of the car make the car move and carry entities as they go from place to place. But you can still pick apart the parts and say, this is an engine, that is a radio, and those are the wheels, that's an axle, and they are all at that point as parts of an accession or accession, even though they are still individually identifiable. Okay, so just to sum up everything that we talked about attaching collateral acquired later. This includes after acquired property, proceeds, and commingled goods and accessions. Have a good one. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Law Schoolers. Before I let you go, there are four things I want to say. The first thing is if you enjoyed these episodes and if you enjoyed the website, I would invite you to go and join Law Schoolers Pro. And you can do that by going to lawschoolers.com/join. It's a way for you to support us, but there's also a lot of features there that I think you will enjoy. Second thing is that nearly all of our episodes are unedited. The only ones that aren't are pre-law materials. And the reason for that is so you can actually see the legal material in its raw form as I'm learning it as well. The third thing is that the information contained in these episodes are specifically only for educational purposes. They're not to be used as legal advice. And with that, the fourth thing is if it is used as legal advice, we are not liable. That is, Law Schoolers is not liable for any legal outcomes. Thank you again for enjoying the show. Have a good one.